Once Upon Atari Review.
Into the vertical blade, Generation Atari.
Let's get the perfunctory out of the way first. Once Upon Atari, How I Made History by Killing an Industry by Howard Scott Warshaw is the best memoir ever written by an Atari home division programmer who knows firsthand what it was like to work at Atari making games in the era of Ray Kassar, and it deserves 5 stars on that fact alone. It also happens to be the only memoir written by an Atari home division programmer who knows firsthand what it was like to work at Atari making games in the era of Ray Kassar, which to me is pretty shocking. Nolan Bushnell, the founder of Atari, has written a business book named How to Find the Next Steve Jobs, which is a memoir of sorts, but not really the all-out Atari memoir I am looking for. Hopefully he has one in the works. Ron Wayne, an early Atari employee, has published a book named Adventures of an Apple Founder that contains a little bit about working for Atari, but mostly focuses on his role starting Apple and getting out far too soon. Joe DeCur, hardware engineer for the Atari 2600 and Atari 400-800, as well as a game programmer, has been working on a memoir for several years too. But as of a few weeks ago, he is 10,000 words in, but nowhere near finished. Chris Crawford has written several books, like The Art of Computer Game Design and On Game Design, and while they are great books and cover some of his work at Atari, they could not be mistaken for memoirs. The closest I'm aware of is Warren Robinette, the programmer of Atari 2600 Adventure, who has teased a book about that very same game for almost a decade now, but so far it has not surfaced. You can see the tantalizing table of contents on his website, which will be in the show notes. There have been many books written about Atari, but very few written by people who were there. Where are the books by people like David Crane, Al Alcorn, Rob Phillip, and Carla Mininsky? I'm still waiting for these. But we do have Howard Scott Warshaw's book, and well, it's quite something to behold. The book trades chapters and sections between 6 major story threads and maybe a few more. They are the 2014 Alamogordo dig for the Xbox movie Atari Game Over, of which Howard was invited to participate. Howard's personal educational and game design history leading up to the making of the ET game. The actual programming of the ET game itself, in very gory detail I might add, and the aftermath. An examination of the actual reasons for the North American video game crash, hint it was not entirely ET or Howard's fault. An examination of game developers themselves, what makes them tick and how they work, and how they relate to other business functions like marketing. And finally, all the drug use at Atari. It's an engaging way to tell a story, especially if you're interested in the inner workings of Atari in the early 1980s. The focus of the book is, of course, the ET video game for the Atari 2600. ET has been called the worst game ever and the cause of the great video game crash. It was one of the most expensive games Atari ever licensed, but was only allotted a 5-week development schedule so it could be produced for Christmas 1982. With most games of the time taking 6 to 9 months to complete, 5 weeks was honestly insane. Ray Kassar, who led Atari at the time, was told over and over by the technical staff that the schedule would not work, but he kept making phone calls until he found the one guy crazy enough to do it, Howard Scott Warshaw. The game was released at just about the same time Warner Communications, Atari's parent company, announced guidance for a fourth quarter loss in December 1982, blamed on slow Atari sales. The rest, well, is a history this book covers in gory, gory detail. Howard's style, which especially comes through in the audiobook version, is that of an insightfully goofy storyteller who loves puns and making up his own acronyms and coined phrases. In some places it gets a little too chatty, but recovers just as quickly. It's no wonder that he always wanted to be a filmmaker, as both his education, multiple degrees, and Atari resume, Yars of Ends, Raiders of Lost Ark, E.T., paint the picture of the type of one-man show auteur, Renaissance man required to make great art out of limited resources. The book is not overly technical, and in fact takes great pains to not be technical as to appeal to a wide audience. Howard makes multiple attempts to explain programmers to non-programmers, and while I think he is mostly correct, as a programmer myself, I have no idea if the explanation works or not, but I hope it does. There's a lot going on in this sprawling and detailed text that hits far beyond the mere story of the E.T. video game. Howard explains, for example, his ideas on how to manage in a creative environment and how to understand why game programmers thrive in chaos. He writes both from experience and from many years of insightful hindsight. What emerges from the text are several books all wrapped in the guise of the story of the E.T. game. We get a solid memoir of working at Atari in the Golden Age, a PhD thesis level examination of the 1983 video game crash, and a management handbook on how to work with creative and technical people. Howard Scott Warshaw, MAMELMFT, bills himself as the Silicon Valley therapist and has been in the profession for many years now. This is not a flippant detail, but actually very important for the book. Howard is not just telling the story of himself, he's telling the story of an entire industry and an entire group of people, many of which have become his clients. When Howard talks about, for instance, where engineers and marketers clash, one gets the feeling that he has heard both sides of this story many, multiple times. The book is perfect for people like myself, ones who are huge Atari fans, interested in the business side of games, while being technical creatives in the entertainment industry. I personally have worked on many games and toys for very well-known brands, some of which have been blamed for societal issues that go far beyond the actual impact or design of the products. Howard knows how it feels for millions of people to enjoy something you have made, but at the same time, the sickening feeling that all your work has been construed into something that it is not. And that, I don't just feel validated by a story, I feel as if I'm in a brotherhood with him. So, I like this book. I like it a lot. I've actually now bought it twice, once in book form 2 years ago, and just a week ago in audiobook format, so I could listen to it in my car and hear what I missed the first time in Howard's own voice. Highly recommend it. While the book is not perfect, that imperfection is part of the whole package. Imagine Howard Scott Warshaw, a guy who had an amazing chance to work at an amazing place early in his career and was very successful at that job, but then was told for the next 30 years that he alone was the cause of that very same industry to crash and burn in North America in 1983. And even though thousands of people were there with him, witnessing all the Wall Street, management, business, marketing, and manufacturing shenanigans that contributed to the crash, almost all of those people kept quiet and let E.T. and Howard Scott Warshaw take the blame. As you read the story, how it is constructed, and what Howard focuses upon, you realize a context that emerges from the text. This book is not about Howard Scott Warshaw. This book is Howard Scott Warshaw. Howard is a man who endured the pressure and power of an entire industry attempting to blame he and he alone for its own mistakes and foibles. But instead of being angry and bitter, he used his divergent mind to find another path and solution. He became a healer himself, using his vast experience to help others find their own way through tech industry insanity. So maybe it's no wonder that Howard's book is one of the first memoirs about working for Atari in the golden age of video games. The weight of blame on him for decades, he finally gets redemption the best way an auteur, innovative engineer, come therapist can manage it, by creating it himself. 5 stars. Highly recommended.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.